Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Jesus Christ is Lord. All glory and honor goes unto him. Truly he is God. God bless you all on this blessed Thursday night. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, race, color, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at godwordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord says unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So, for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know how we do this. Before we go into the message tonight, we pray. So I ask that you would join in with me in prayer. And we're going to pray tonight. Amen. Petition the Lord for his spirit to be with us. And then I want to pray the Psalms 91 prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for being God and ruler. We thank you for being the true and living God. And besides you, there is no other. We're thankful for you being omnipotent, all-powerful. There's none who has or possess a greater power than thee. And no one can give us the revelation that we so desperately need, Lord. So therefore, we petition you tonight or this day, for some of us it's evening, that your spirit will be with us as we take this journey into the lesson today. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that, Lord, just bless us on this broadcast this day. And, Lord, your word said, as I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Heavenly Father, I say unto you that you are my refuge, you are my fortress, you are my God, and you will I trust. And surely, Lord God, you shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Father, you shall cover me with your feathers, and under your wings shall I trust. Father, your truth shall be my shield and buckler. For I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. For only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made you my Lord, who is my refuge and my most high God, my habitation. Therefore, Lord, shall no evil befall me, and neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. And Heavenly Father, you shall give your angels charge over me, to keep me in all your ways. They shall bear me up, Lord God, in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. And by the authority given me of Jesus Christ, I shall tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall I trample under my feet. Because, Lord, you have set your love upon me. Therefore, Lord, you will deliver me. You will set me on high because, Lord, you have known my name. And, Lord, I shall call upon you. You will answer me. Father, you will be with me in trouble. You will deliver me and honor me. And with long life will you satisfy me and show me your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to the living God. Let us go into the book of Judges, chapter 8. The book of Judges, chapter 8. And we're going to glory. Start from verse 18, and we're going to end at verse 23. The book of Judges, chapter 8, starting at verse 18 and going to verse 23. This message tonight is for the Gideons in the body of Christ. Glory, halabashata, glory. This message is for the Gideons in the body of Christ. Judges chapter 8, verses 18 to verse 23. The word of God said, "Then said he of Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor?" This is Gideon talking to them. And they answered, "As thou art, so were they, each one resembled the children of a king." And he said, "They were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you." And he said to Jether, his firstborn, "Up and slay them." But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, "Rise thou and fall upon us. For as the man is, so is his strength." And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, "Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son, and thy son's sons also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian." And Gideon said unto them, "I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." Hallelujah. Thank God for the reading of his word. As I said in the beginning, this message is for the Gideons in the body of Christ. And the message is, beware of man trying to give you all the glory. Hallelujah. I said that again. Beware of men trying to give you all the glory. And on top of that, putting you in a position that God has not called you. Glory to God. My message goes to the Gideons in the body of Christ, the ones whom God has used to deliver his people out of the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. The same Gideon whom God had to work on when God first told him that, "I'm going to use you to deliver Israel." And that was a couple of things that God had to deal with Gideon on to get him to the place of faith. Number one, he had to deal with him with doubt, because Gideon felt like, say, "Hey, I'm the least of my father's house. Who am I? I can't do nothing." Amen. And the other was fear, because the Lord, even after God told Gideon, and Gideon said, "Lord, if you're going to use me," Gideon had sent out a fleece. He said, "Turn this part of the ground, have dew on it, let it be wet and the other part dry," and vice versa. God did it. And still, Gideon had a problem with that. And in fact, God let him know, say, "Hey, you know, arise," and I'm going to paraphrase, say, "Go, I put the enemy in your hands, you know." But he said, "If you fear, go with your servant Phurah." And all of a sudden he went with Phurah, and he heard of a dream that this other man had. And Phurah answered and said, "This dream represents Gideon." And I'm going to paraphrase it once again, being used by the Lord to deliver Israel. And Gideon received the strength and heard and went forth in the Lord. And there are some of you in the body of Christ who are Gideons, who God had spoke a particular call upon your life. You know, we all have the general call as believers to preach and teach the gospel, but we also have individual call. And you, Gideon, God had to work on you. He spoke to you, man or woman of God. He spoke to you and said, "I'm going to use you to deliver my people." But just like Gideon, you was at a place where you said, "Lord, I'm the least of my house. I can't be used. I mean, what can I do? I can't do nothing." And God had to deal with you and work out some things in your heart and in your life to get that doubt removed. Because you have to understand that God didn't make no mistake when he told you that. He didn't mess up. God didn't say, oops, I said it to the wrong person. He said it to the right person, but the person had a problem with it because you're looking at your status. You're looking at your state. You're looking at your even your present condition, and you said, Lord, who am I? I'm the least of my father's house. You know, there's others greater than me in my father's house. Who am I? And God had to deal with you in your life to get that doubt removed. And then you had some fear. You had fear. You're looking at the enemy. You know, God had to do a process and a work with Gideon because Gideon started off with like, 32,000 men, and God had to break down that process where he had only 300. 300 men going against an enemy that looks like the grasshoppers of the field. You know, it's a lot of grasshoppers out on the yard, okay? And here you is coming with 300 men. But yet still, God had to deal with you and do some cleansing and work in you to remove that fear of the enemy out your heart. And now when that process was done, God used you to deliver his people. In fact, God not only used you in delivering his people, but you preached the word of deliverance. You preached repentance. See, today, one of the problems that is in the body of Christ is that we have gotten away from repentance. We have gotten away from teaching it. We have gotten away from preaching it. Simply, we just got away from mentioning anything about it. And then we're going around telling people, say, just smile and just be excited, be happy, and God's going to bless you. And we're not preaching concerning sin in the lives of God's people. We're not preaching that, hey, you need to repent of this sin in order to be restored. But we're still going around saying smile, put a smile. And we're putting a smile over repenting. And this is why many of us are still in the same condition that we are. But to you that are the Gideons, God use you to deliver his people, to bring the message and the word of repentance. But here's the thing about Gideon, and as we saw in Judges 8, that when Gideon was used by God to deliver Israel, one of the things that we notice is that the Bible said the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule over us. Now understand this, that we all got the individual call, or got the common call, let me put it that way, of preaching and teaching the gospel. And then there are individual calls in the body of Christ. And what you have to do is you have to stay in the place that God calls you, okay? Gideon was called by God to be used as a deliverer, not as a ruler over them. Hallelujah. And see, I commend Gideon for standing because, you know, it's very easy to get caught up in the limelight. When people start praising you and say, oh, you such a this, you such a that. Oh, you did this and you did that. Oh, and many times if you're not watchful, your head begins to swell. Your mind starts thinking. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're doing something that God has not called you to do. This is why the message is beware of man trying to give you all the glory. Notice that what Gideon said. Gideon said, I'm not going to rule over you and neither will my son. But the Lord will rule over you. Hallelujah. See, Gideon did not let man put him in a position that God didn't call him. Gideon functioned in his place and calling that God had upon his life. Hallelujah. You want to be pleasing unto God? Do that. Do that. Function in the place and call that God have you until he move you into another place. But function in that place. Amen. And in the body of Christ, we have to be careful of man trying to give you all the glory. You know, you look today, and there are some who God have used mightily, but they have gotten off track because men have done just like they did to Gideon. They have come to you and said, hey, we want you to rule over us. We want you to have a place over us. And what happens was that you stepped in the place that God did not tell you to be in. All because the men started to praise you and start giving you all the glory. You know, I noticed over some years, there have been, and even on TV, some of the big time televangelists who I have to say at one point God had really used them. I mean, this is, I'm not talking about ones that were never saved and got, I'm talking about something that was saved but have gotten off track. And I noticed that whenever they have had big conferences on TV or what have you, I notice how, you know, many times they have some people to go before them to announce them. Like if they're getting ready to come up on the stage or something of that nature. And I notice the adjectives. Yeah, the adjectives that they do. They say, oh, I want to introduce you now to the speaker of the night, the dynamic, the outstanding, the this and that. And I said, what is this? What is this? And you hear the people in the audience get so caught up with the adjectives that is used to describe the speaker. And many times, this is a speaker that whom God at one point was using. I mean, was using greatly. I know some of the televangelists I see on TV. At one point, I remember that there was times that they preached, the anointing was so strong and great that you could sense it through the TV set. But now, because of the lifting up in pride and not being aware or cautious of man trying to give them all the glory, now they're preaching, but you sense no anointing. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you got some of them on TV. They use, I've heard some of them preach and use these gigantic big words. And you can hear the people in the audience just hollering, wow, oh, wow. And I'm like, what do they say? And see, what has happened is that there have been those through the years that told us, well, you know, I like so-and-so when he preached, and those words he be saying, I can't pronounce, but he pronounced them, and he sounds so good when he pronounced them. And what happened was, they became lifted up in pride. Amen. And now the people are starting to glorify, quote, the messengers, and not glorifying God. The late Brother Albert Clark, him and his wife, Sister Christine Clark, you hear Brother Lee when he comes on the broadcast sometimes talk about them. And I remember when I first got saved in the first few years of my salvation, from time to time, I remember Brother Clark, when somebody began to say something good about him, now, and it don't mean that nobody can't never say nothing good about him, but I remember he used to say, stop, stop, you're killing me, you're killing me. And, you know, I used to look at him and wonder, why does he keep saying it? But over the course of time, because he began to talk to me, he said, watch out for praise. When people start praising you, because too much will kill you. And over through the years after he would tell me that, I begin to see and understand what he's talking about. And see, some of us did not listen to the direction of the Lord in that area. See, there have been some men and women of God who started off like a Gideon, and God used them greatly in the area of deliverance. But what happened was, they didn't beware of man trying to give them all the glory. And so man not only talked at them, but talked them into a place that God has not called them. This is why some big time televangelists, like, if you want to call them to come and preach where you at, this is one of the reasons, I said one of the reasons now, why they don't mind charging a big, giant sum of money. Because they know that these people praises them and glorifies them, and that these people are going to go into debt to get them to come there. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And so Gideon stood. Gideon could have very easily said, well, okay, I accept. I rule over y'all. Because he know that their eyes was feasting upon him and not the Lord. And this is why we have to be careful. The Bible does say give honor where honor's due. But we can go over honor and start praising the man. You understand what I'm saying? And so, therefore, when you start seeing people have more of their eyes on you, you better be careful. I have come across people in my ministry, in the ministry God has called me, let me put it that way, and in the walk, in my walk with Christ, that they start getting to a point where they start focusing more on me. You know, you got some people that you, and I know some of you can vouch for what I'm saying, you have come across that when it comes to the Word of God, you know, they constantly asking you where such and such a thing at, but they would not look it up for themselves. And you can sense that total dependency. That's why when I'm, even when I'm teaching people the Word, I like to put their eyes, you know, have them to read it. I don't want them to sit there just listen to me talking all the time. I want them to read it for themselves. And I always encourage them, hey, study the Word. Even if I give you scriptures to study, study them yourself, okay? But see, some in the ministry haven't made that declaration clear because some of them like for people to be dependent on them. They like for people to look at them and give them glory. And to that I say, if you don't repent, you're going to come down. But once again, to the Gideons, I want to say to you, beware of man trying to give you all the glory. Because it's very easy. Because when people don't see the overall picture, that it was God that gave you the strength to do what you have done, then they're going to look at you, and then they're going to start making you a god. And once again, if you're not careful, you will fall into that trap, and you will begin to start saying and doing things that God has not authorized you to say or do. I have come across men in my walk with Christ that, who, let's say, for example, they were faithful members in the church. I mean, when I mean faithful, they constantly was coming to church. They constantly was there on time. And there was other people in the church that noticed that and say, you know, I've watched you, and you'll make a good deacon. And these men was pressured because they kind of felt like, well, I don't know, should I be there? But the people kept at them, yeah, you should be a deacon. You should be a deacon. And I used to talk with them. And I said, but listen, the basic number one thing is that you got to know in your spirit that is what God called you to do. Now, if your pastor or someone come to you and say, hey, you know what? The Lord was telling me you should be made a deacon. Well, you could tell your pastor or whoever it is, say, hey, pastor, or whoever they are, I appreciate it. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. I need a witness for myself. Now, here's the thing. If the pastor can't respect that, then there's something wrong. If whoever tells you can't respect that, something wrong. If they're going to get all upset and be forceful by you doing it, most of the time, that tells you right there, it didn't come from God. Now, that's just honest truth. That means overall, it was their feelings. Because, see, sometimes people give you what they feel. And if you don't watch it, they will try to mold you and shape you into what they think you should be instead of what God wants you to be. Amen? So this is why this is critical and very important that you beware of man trying to give you all the glory. See, we're living in a time right now that there are some who are looking for true deliverance. Now, they went through this fake stuff, you know, telling you just smile, you know, just be positive. Nothing wrong with being positive and smiling, but we can't leave our repentance neither. When Jesus said when you in sin, he didn't say just smile and be positive and you'll be delivered. He said repent of your sin, okay? That's what Jesus said. But see, what has happened in the body of Christ, we have gotten off the message of repentance. So God is raising up some Gideons who he's using to deliver his people from the hand of the enemy. because they're in it. Remember, the Bible tells us in the book of Judges that God had to deliver Israel into the hand of their enemy Midian because Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And see, what has happened, too, is that we have not preached nor taught enough about open doors, doors that are open because of sin that gives the devil the legal right to do to you. And so we won't talk about that, and many of the big-time televangelists won't talk about that. So God said, hey, I got to raise me up some Gideons who I can use to bring true deliverance. And that's what he's been doing, and that's what he's going to continue to do. And there are some Gideons in the works right now who God is working on them, working in their life to get this doubt removed and this fear removed so they can rise in the faith and be used by God in deliverance. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And God wants to use them. He's going to use them. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to use them in delivering his people. Israel was in the hands of Midian for 7 years. Seven, normally, is a number of perfection, but also a number of completion. So the time had come that they needed to walk and be delivered. Okay. Hallelujah. And I am grateful to the Gideons. And once again, the true Gideons also, they're going to acknowledge who used them, but they're not going to let you put them in a place that God has not called them. Like I said, it's very easy. It's very easy for that to happen if you're not watchful. There have been many of men in the ministry who God had used and got caught in adultery because of this, because there was a woman of the opposite sex who kept praising them. You know, I remember some years ago, Bishop T.D. Jakes' wife, Sarita, she was speaking one day, and she talked about how she was watchful of other women in the church who were always coming up to her and said, oh, T.D. Jakes, he's such a great preacher, and I like his bald head. And so what she was doing, she said she had to be watchful because she knew with some of them, it was more than they would say, oh, he has his bald head, and she knew that it was a, quote, kind of liking in there. You understand what I'm saying? And see, sometimes those of the opposite sex get fascinated with the anointing that's on you, and they become drawn to you, that you have to be watchful that they don't take it a little bit farther and start looking at you. That's why I watch, you know, it's just like if I'm ministering to a woman, one of the things that I have to talk to her about if she makes the statement that I'm looking for a man like you. I said, no, you don't want to. You want to look for a man that's after Jesus, okay, not like me. And I have told some men, be very careful of those kind of statements because that means that she's focusing on you. She's looking at you. And if you feed into that, you can end up getting into a world of trouble. Why? Because she sees that anointing. Sense that anointing on you, and God may have used you to help her. Okay? He may have used you to help her, even in the area of deliverance. I mean, we got to help the opposite sex, don't get me wrong, but you have to be careful at the same time that they don't try to give all the glory to you. Listen to me, my Christian sister, same thing go for you. God may use you to help this man. And this man is a, quote, he's, quote, in a sense, attracted to the anointing on you, but he's looking at you and saying, you know, I like a good woman like you. You better be careful, okay? You better watch that. Yeah, I want a good woman like you because a woman like you. And then if you don't watch out, then you getting lifted up. Next thing you know, y'all holding hands together, and then here comes the trap, okay? So Gideons, beware. A man trying to give all the glory to you. Beware. A man putting you in a position that God has not called you. Beware of these so-called adjectives, okay, that they want to call you. The dynamic. I don't need that. When I introduced a brother, I said, hey, I thank God for this brother who has blessed me. He's a blessing in Christ Jesus, so and so. But me throwing all this dynamic, the outstanding, the blah, blah, man, I'm killing him, okay? Why? Because I'm trying to make his head big, okay? Then he says something out of the way for me doing that, then I want to be mad. Now, beware. Beware, be watchful, beware. A man trying to give you all the glory. And you can see it today that so many, man, I mean, for example, like, I just look in the gospel music world alone. Man, it is so many, you know, they used to talk about it, and it ain't over yet, that how that there were some gospel artists who God used to sing so good that they was offered R&B contracts, and some of them crossed over. They was offered a crossover. Now, everybody didn't cross over. You know, you look at Shirley Caesar, she had opportunity, but she didn't cross over. Thank God for that. But some of them cross over to R&B because they're told, oh, man, you got a magnificent voice, blah, 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 and all that. Oh, wait a minute. They fail to understand. These people ain't looking at the glory of God. They're looking at you giving you the glory. And so you get sucked up with it, you know. Next thing you know, you singing R&B. You know, it's just like, you know, I heard a brother said that gospel music is a platform, has been used as a platform by people, and, you know, kind of I think he used the word rest in place, or he used some other word, but what he was saying is that it's just like I heard so many R&B singers say, you know, I died in the church. I said, well, why did you leave? You tell me, you start, I guarantee you there were people in there glorifying you. Tell you how great and how outstanding a voice you had. And bloop, 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 your head just got bigger and bigger. And then they say, hey, you know, you can sing a little R&B. And the next thing you know, you just, oh, and now you R&B singing. Same thing with the guys and the women, okay? And then some of them, when they're R&B and their careers is going down the tube, then they want to see gospel, okay? You notice that they want to jump into gospel now. Start singing gospel music. Talk about, I want to make an inspirational song. Yeah, I know you do. You're trying to get your, quote, career back up, okay? And the sad thing about it is some of these gospel artists have fallen for that. And they'll get together with these R&B singers and say, oh, and some of them get together with them because they looking for fame and glory themselves. I'm talking about the gospel singers. So they get together with somebody who's well-known in the secular world. Well known, very popular. And so I guess if you have them on your album, you get more people to want to listen to you. Well, let's just lay down the truth because that's the truth of it. Okay. But Gideon told him, he said, I'm not going to rule over you and my son is not going to rule over you. Neither one of us is going to do it, but the Lord will. The Lord will. And you'll find yourself many times, you got to declare that to people. Okay? Well, we want you, you know, it's just like if you're an evangelist and God used you to give the word and people got saved and the people come to you and say, you know what? You know, you really blessed those people. Why would you come and be our pastor? Well, God didn't call you to be a pastor. So you have to declare and say, you know what? Jesus is going to be your pastor. I'm not going to be your pastor. Why? Because he didn't call me to be your pastor. That's why I'm not going to be your pastor. See, once again, you got to watch. Be watchful, people. Be watchful. Beware. A man trying to give you all the glory. Some of you get it. It's like I said, God has greatly used you. Greatly use you in the area of deliverance. He have used you. There have been people that have been, my God, under the bondage of the enemy through sickness, financial problems, you name it. And God has used you in that area to deliver them. And what has happened, they shifted their focus to you. Okay? Actually, that's why at the time when you are using in the area of deliverance, you have to quickly minister to people in the direction of the Lord and keep pointing them to Jesus. Even if you got to give them scripture to study on Jesus, do that, okay? You have to be watchful. Gideon stood his ground. He said, I'm not going to rule over you. My son's not going to rule over you. The Lord's going to rule over you. That's who's going to rule over you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. And see, there's some right now in these last days in a fallen state because they wouldn't give heed. They wouldn't give heed. Amen. Hallelujah. See, in the secular world, music-wise, you have it, they seek for glory for themselves, okay? They seek for glory. And see, sometimes, just like Satan offered to Christ, when God is using you, Satan will offer it to you, whether straightway or through someone else, offer you a chance to be, quote, glorified. And you have to watch out for that. You have to be very watchful. Because, see, you got to understand, it's not always for you to speak at every event. It's not always for you to show up at every event. It's not always for you to head or lead every event. But, see, if you don't be watchful, man will have you in that position where you be doing it. Every event come up, you'll be trying to head it off. But they say, can't nobody do it like you. God used you to deliver, blah, blah, blah. And, see, you getting caught up in it. Next thing you know, you trying to head every conference. You trying to schedule up everything? No. No. You got to keep that in mind. Thank you, Jesus. And I just thank God for his word, the word of truth. The word of truth, people. And I just look at today, so many. You know, over the period of years, I've seen some gospel ministers who were small in their own eyes, who had, man, a great anointing on them. I mean, they could preach, and 5 minutes into the sermon, you already, hallelujah. And the had been so strong on them. But I look at them now, and I'm just sitting there looking at them just, waiting on the anointing, but it doesn't show up because once again, we're caught up in it. And tell you the truth, we're caught up in titles. You know, God called me to be an apostle, but I don't come to anyone and say, hey, you called me Apostle Nate. No, if you were born again, believe it, I said, I'm just Brother Nate. Even when I'm pastor, I didn't tell you, say, well, you call me Pastor Nate. Now, there's a couple brothers I know, well, one of them I know. He said, hey, pastor. Okay, just like that. But I don't require him to come to him and say, hey, you call me Pastor Nate. You got some men that do that. Some men, they'll correct you in a heartbeat. Say, you say, hey, brother so-and-so, I might call me Reverend. You're like, well, that's just the title of your office, brother. You know, let's calm down here, you know. Amen. So once again, beware, man, trying to give you all the glory. Now, some of you, you already been approached, you know, with this thing. Others of you, it hasn't happened yet. And this word is a word of warning. God said, beware. Because before you know it, once again, you'll be heading off everything, trying to run everything. And then what's going to happen is you're going to get in such a bind, affect your blood pressure and all that, have your heart racing, you know. There have been men in the body of Christ who have died prematurely because they was out of the place of the Lord. They were trying to function in a place where God had not called them. And they have died prematurely. And that's why you want to be in the place where God called you at. See, the Holy Ghost revealed to me that God called me the apostle. I didn't move just because some people were telling me that God showed them that I was called to be an apostle. Now, I stepped into place because the Lord revealed to me, and he confirmed that what they said, what they did see was true. Amen. So beware of man trying to give you all the glory. be watchful. Amen. Gideon, be watchful. Hallelujah. Because, yes, God wants to use you in delivering his people. But we got to stay in humility in order to be used more of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And so you, those of you, you know, tomorrow is Friday. Normally it's Heart to Heart. Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. I join them also. Amen. Thank God for my brother, Brother Lee, who God has used greatly. I have to get it credit. God is using greatly. He is not God, but God is using greatly. Amen. And once again, I want to mention to those of you that are listening, I talked to you before about this school of teaching that the Lord has put on my heart, that, you know, we need a school of teaching. Now, some of you say, are you talking about a physical school or internet? Well, I'm talking about both. Because I understand that, you know, where we have physical, you know, all who would like to travel there, so I can do it over the internet as well. Amen. So I just, if you can think of two or three subjects that you would like to see talk from the Word of God on, contact me at my phone number is 662-229-5331. 662-229-5331. Or you can contact me at my email address at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. Amen. You can contact me there. Praise be to God. If you have, you can send in your request, or if you have any questions. As I said before, the Lord has dealt with me on my heart, about that, a school of teaching that we needed. Do I think I can handle the whole thing myself? No. I know, see, God uses us all in the body of Christ, but it has to start somewhere. It has to start somewhere. And amen. You know, who knows, you know, what God would, you know, be dealing with and turning it into. But it's been in my heart's desire, and I know it had been given to me by the Lord for the past 7 or 8 years, to see people taught the Word of God. You know, I just got tired of seeing the devil have a heyday with people who was in ignorance about what God had to say concerning their life. I don't want them to be in ignorance. I want them to know what God's Word says, so they can use that against the enemy. You know, Jesus, in the book of Matthew chapter 4, notice that he used the word. He told Satan, it is written, okay? And Satan couldn't do nothing with that word. He couldn't do nothing with that, okay? So he had to come with another temptation. And Jesus, once again, it is written, okay? And the Lord wants you to learn all about him as you can. Now, I'm not saying this school, you know, would know everything. But it's to be to help. You know, there are some of you out there who are babes in Christ. And I've seen babes in Christ who was left to the wolves. You know, no minister was there to minister to them, to give them the milk, you know. And I tell you, one time, you know, that used to upset me. I still don't like it too much, you know, to see a babe in Christ left out to the wolves. And I know that some of the ministers, and that's why I said this is also a help, some of the ministers don't know what to tell new converts. Just like, take myself for example, when I came to the ministry in 91, and into the place of being a pastor in 95. But during that year, if a new convert would have came to me and say, hey, I'm a new convert, what do I do next, blah, 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 what do I study, where I read, I couldn't 100% tell them. Only thing I probably would tell them, well, you need to go to Matthew and read in Matthew and blah, 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 which there is some things in Matthew. But it wouldn't have been pointing out to him or her the milk and what necessary, you know, I need to go. So I had to get in there and study and find out for myself. And see, some ministers don't even study the word, period. They go by these books that they buy with sermons and stuff like that. But as far as getting together with Jesus and letting the Spirit of the Lord, you know, deal with them in that area, no. No. And amen. So that's why this school of teaching is, you know, this is why, you know, I'm doing this. And what it is that when you send in your two or three, and I get it from everybody, and I'm giving a particular time for everybody to turn in something. So you say, how long is that? Well, to be honest with you, I don't, right now, I have no idea, because I want this thing to be all the Lord. Okay, I don't want it to be at a point where I'm just going on doing what I want to do. I want this thing to be organized by the Lord. And so when I get it and tally up, you know, get all the requests in, I'm going to take it to the Lord in a prayer and let him deal with me on how to organize. Okay. Because you want organization. You want to be left open by the Spirit of God, but also you need organization, and God can do both of them. Okay. Amen. So remember that. And I still will be repeating it from time to time on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, you know, those of you who saying, hey, do we have to be a member of, quote, your church to do this? No. If you're a born-again believer, hey, go ahead. Send in your request, okay? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the precious word of truth. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for another blessed day in the Lord, another time you've given us, another time you watched over us. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, we ask, Lord God, that you continue to bless us in the name of Jesus. I want to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Oh, go ahead. Continue to pray, brother.
Amen. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you've been doing and what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, you are worthy to be praised and be glorified. Father, bless everyone that's been listening to this broadcast tonight. Father, keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we give you all the glory and honor and praise, and we magnify you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Brother, I've been tonight, the message that I had given tonight was to the Gideons in the body of Christ to beware of man trying to give you all the glory. The Bible tells us that after God had used Gideon to deliver Israel, that the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both you and your son's son, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. And so the message tonight to the Gideons is beware. Man trying to give you all the glory. God has used many in the area of deliverance. But what happens is sometimes people, instead of keeping their focus on Jesus, the one who used you, their focus becomes on you. And then they want you to get into a place where God has not called you. God called Gideon to be used as a deliverer, not to rule over them. Okay? And because God used him, they're trying to get the man in a position to rule over them. And God has not called it. So that's why I commend Gideon for standing and saying that the Lord shall rule over you. Glory to the living God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite true. Yeah, that's quite a problem, and not only in the beginning of time, but down to this day, about the ministry that's given, and you know, anointing and gifts, and the working of the latter day ministries. People seeing the gifts and the anointing and the ministry, you know, is easily to turn your attentions and begin to chew up on the man or the woman and their gift instead of the giver. And that's can be easily a sidetrack of human beings, and look at the person that's delivering the gift, the man or the woman, or that the Holy Spirit is using them and working through them. And it's so easy for humans to turn to begin to almost will worship the man or the gift instead of the giver. So that's so easy. In Moses' day, I feel strongly it was very easily in the prophet Moses why the Lord would not allow them to know where he was buried, because they would not have moved. They would just stood, because Moses was probably in the whole plan and scripture of God was probably the mightiest prophet in the whole Bible, in demonstration of God bringing his people out of slavery and bondage and with a mighty power. So such a demonstration of the oneness and intimacy that Moses and God's demonstration of his power, which has not been seen, I think it has not been seen in such as such even to this day. God buried Moses in the mount, and he would not allow them to know the place of his burial. And because so easy is for people to do that. You know, when Jesus was in the mount, and he took Peter, James, and John up in the Mount Transfiguration, they saw his glory. First thing they wanted to do when they came back, and they saw in the vision that Moses and Elijah came and ministered to Jesus when he was on the Mount Transfiguration. They saw vision of Moses and Elijah coming. And the first thing they wanted to do was build three churches or three tabernacles, one to Moses, one to Elijah, one to Jesus. So men often get distracted from the true worshiper and the giver of the gift. You know, that's happened quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, and that's why whenever God uses the Gideon in the area of deliverance, he must also have a watchful eye. You know, I share that when, especially when you're dealing with the opposite sex, with some Christian men, you know, I allude them to the fact that many times you have to watch that some of the women that you minister to, and God may help you, use you to help them greatly, but sometimes you have to watch words like, "I'm looking for a man like you," you know, and things like that. That's a red light there, because now they have shifted their vision from Jesus to you. You know, and it's the same way with the women, our Christian sisters. You may be ministering to a man, and he may say, "You know, I sure would like to have a good woman like you." You have to watch these red flags, because if you don't, and you're not being aware of them trying to give you all the glory and put you in a place, this is how some men and women fall into the traps that, you know, happens because, you know, of things like that. I'm looking for one like you, stuff like that. You're supposed to, now you need to look for one like after Jesus. So it's very, like I said, easy for that to happen, and this word of warning. Brother, I've seen it with so many televangelists to this day. And like I said, I'm talking about televangelists who God had used at one point greatly. I mean, you can sit anointed, but now, since they caught up, just like when people announce them now, they calling them the dynamic, the outstanding. The I said, man, where is all these adjectives coming from? You know, but, you know, people get captivated when they start announcing them like that, and they're hollering, and, oh, no. Brother, I have heard when they announce these speakers or announce gospel singers, they be shouting for them like at an R&B concert. You would think Michael Jackson walked out on the stage the way they be shouting and crying for him.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I look at the speakers, and they're becoming more caught up in it. And here's the thing about the deliverance. God is using the Gideons to preach repentance and teach repentance, because the church world have gotten off of that mark. I mean, brother, we ain't mentioning no repentance. We ain't preaching it. We ain't teaching it. All we telling people is smile and be positive, and everything's going to be okay. We don't tell them about repentance of sin and nothing.
Yeah,
that,
that's true.
You know?
Yeah, that's quite
Amen.
True.
And Jesus said, repent of your sin. He didn't say just smile and be positive. He said, repent of your sin. So we didn't get off of that.
Yeah.
And this is why
well,
people
that's not
are
a popular subject,
today.
Brother. That's not a popular.
Oh, okay.
That's not the key drawing power. People want to hear. You got to understand that we've been warned about this also, the itching ears. And not want to hear sound doctrine like faith and repentance and pureness and righteousness and walking in the light, forsaking sin, forsaking this world and the flesh and submitting to Christ. Those things are not very popular in some cases. So that kind of message of the gospel is often getting up deleted in order to preach what they want to hear, pleasant to the ears, to the things of this life, and it's happened a lot. Let people hear that God wants you to prosper, brother. God wants you to have a million. God wants you to have a mansion. God wants you to have this. In some cases, that may be true in its essence, but that's become the focus of the message now. Oh, yes. Now, sometimes they don't talk about their relationship or lack of relationship, whether in Christ or Christ is in their life or the life has been turned around, or they have gotten free. So a lot of times that happens to when your ministry blossoms. You see these ministries, they blossom, and they just become worldwide. And sometimes they have to watch themselves about pride because people start praising them and exalting them and giving them titles. And just like you in a rock contest, how they, you know. And you can get caught up in that easily. So they have to stay very humble and meek. And remember the days of small beginning. And so you stay humble. You notice what Jesus did whenever he did so many miracles, signs, and wonders, and he said, my Father. He always says, my Father do the work. He never would, even though he was the Son of Man and the Son of God, he never took any honor. He said, my Father. Notice always when he did something, he said, my Father is good. None is good but the Father. He said, Father, do the work. He said, Father, do the work in me. He's the honor. So he always says, the Father, do the honor. He do the work. Jesus said, I'm just the carrier and the instrument and the vessel to deliver. But the honor, he said, honor. And he talks about that a lot in the fifth chapter of John, about honoring men and honor titles. Brother, you can get tied up. You know, right now they begin to give people these exalted titles, and they announce them and this becomes serious mishap. And so you're very right that you have to be the ministry has to be very cautious, very aware of other people exalting you because God is using you. You can get the big head so quick, so easy, and think it's all about you. And people begin to look to you, and you had to keep continuing to turn them eyes upon the Lamb of God. Like John the Baptist said, listen, I'm just a voice crying away, but But I'm turning your eyes upon the Lamb of God, and it's what you have to keep doing that.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, the Gideons, as we know, God had to do a work on the Gideons. A couple of things in Gideon's life, he had doubt and fear. He had doubt at one point. He said, "Lord, who am I? I'm the least of my father's house," you know. And God had to deal with them. He threw out a fleece, you know. And then that wasn't enough for him. Then God said, "Well, if you're still fearful, you know, that you, I told you to go down there and enemy, I put the enemy in your hand. You're still fearful. Just have your servant with you, Pharaoh, and had him to listen to a dream that this man had, and that's what did it." So the Gideons had to have something worked out in their life by God to bring them to their faith, to that faith where they could be used to in deliverance to others. And now that, you know, like you said, they were small in their own eyes. So God was able to do that, to work out that and get that doubt and that fear removed so he can use them. But see, now the message is beware. Beware. Now you have gotten to that point. You know, God is using you in the area of deliverance. Beware, you know. Beware.
Yeah, any working of the Holy Spirit or working of the mighty power of Christ in any human vessel, because of the human side of man, and we still have to stay humble and meek and submissive, because pride is so easy to exalt itself in the human family and flesh. So that's, we have to watch it, because remember Satan, he got exalted above measure, and now he was made glorious and wonderful and the most beautiful and the most powerful cherubim around the throne, but he got exalted.
Yeah.
He got exalted in himself, and you can get exalted. Oh, you notice in the flesh and human family, when you begin to say a man, when he get all these praises from the woman, oh, he's so handsome, he's so, oh my God, it's just so. And then, you know, the woman, she gets all these echoes every show. Oh, she's so fine, brother. Oh my God, just your ground is well. And that person can get so exalted, so vain. I mean, so vain. They think that the sun and the moon is, because people are exalting them. Oh my God, she's so fine. Her voice is so melodious. Oh, her walk. This man, isn't he so old? And the guy get full of himself.
Yeah.
And until something like cancer hit him or a truck hit him, and we see that he is a human being. And, sometimes things have to be, people have to be made to be humble. So that is very careful in taking honor unto himself. One thing I said about Brother Drades, whom God has used to be described in this generation to send the angel messenger Elijah and brought him 120 messages. He was made through his experience with God one of the most humblest men you want to meet. That's how you know God continued working. He made mistakes, of course. And just like Moses did and Peter and the rest of them. Brother Draves described that God used in this generation, that you can hardly find a more meek and a humble man than Brother Draves. Even though the angel is coming to him and chose him to be described to deliver a message to the whole world, he remained very meek and humble. And you would think he would be so exalted. And do you know who I am? Do you know the messenger of covenant? The Elijah is coming to me. My God. Don't spread out the rugs when I walk in the door. Open the door. Put the man out for me. No, just the opposite. Just the opposite. He just walked and appeared just like a mere man, and didn't get any real honor from men. Anyway, he didn't get too much from people anyway. he was not very liked by many people, even by the people that's supposed to be around him. So he remained very humble. He was an example of true humility like Moses. You know the greatest quality that people never talk about Moses? The greatest quality that Jehovah saw and said, he was the meekest man upon the face of the earth.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's a wow. Yeah. When I read that, there was not a meekest man like Moses on the face of the earth. Wow. That's what happened when you in the presence and the glory of God. Now, I've talked to some of the big time ministries, and they are to the place where you can't really get to them. I don't fault them all the time, but I've talked to over the period of time, and one of the qualities I always check in characters, the meekness and humility. They're very gifted, very anointed in that gift, but one of the qualities that God looks at is the meekness and the humility. And I haven't seen too many embracing that characteristic trait of humility. And, I'm not trying to fall forward. I'm just saying that you have to stay humble and meek at his feet that time.
Yeah, because some of them have. They started off being used by God. But yeah. I just look at once you start. And one of the other things I've seen, once you start getting into a whole lot of things that God hadn't called you to. I mean, I heard, they'll say, well, I'm writing a book, I'm making a movie, I'm doing this and that. And I'm like, wait a minute, where's all these irons coming from in the fire? I said, first of all, you got to fulfill your call that God had on your life. But see, now you get into all these other things and you saying you got to do this and you got to do that, but is it the call of God? And so people get caught up like that, and now, brother, when they getting announced on the stage, they call all kinds of attitude, the dynamic, the outstanding, the super this, the super that. I'm looking like, who is he described?
Well, the most reverend, the most this, and the most brother this is the supernatural miracle faith man, the great. Sometimes these puffed up things can affect that person unconsciously. They get to be exalted so much because of how God has used them, they can, that things like that can become a contagious and affect your life. You begin to believe that stuff. And people, when you walk through the doors, the right reverend, bishops, so I believe in giving honor to the men of God and women. I believe in giving proper order and honor to people. But this superficial, puffed up admiration, giving so much honor that Jesus himself wouldn't take that. If Jesus walked, he would not, as a man, he would not take in our angels on earth. They try to give him kingly honor, this honor. He said, nope, I come to do the will of him, my father. He always give the honor and glory to the Father. He said, the Father doeth it. The Father sent me. I come in his name. So he always give honor to the proper place. But today, there's a lot of great men and women being used of God, started out in a humble meek place, and then you can become. Do you know why the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 12, why the Lord gave Paul a thorn in the flesh?
Oh, yeah, to humble him because of the revelations that he got. Keep him humble.
See, the Lord protected him. Paul was receiving the end time mysteries and revelations that had been held back from the foundation of the world. He was being given him the mysteries of the kingdom of God and the God's dwelling through Jesus Christ. And he got so many revelations for the church and for the end time. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians that he was given, God allowed a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan. What it said, a messenger from Satan to buffer him. Lest he become exalted. He become exalted because of the great revelation he was receiving for the church aid and for the kingdom to come. And so this thorn of flesh, the Lord would not remove it. He prayed three times, and the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So he wouldn't remove it. He said, I'm doing it to protect you. I'm protecting you, Paul. I'm allowing Satan to buffer you in that area. a thorn in the flesh. So, you know, that ought to tell you something right there, right?
Yeah.
That ought to talk to everybody. As soon as the person get a little revelation, oh, sometimes God do a healing or do a deliverance. Oh, my God. You pat yourself on the back. Oh, man, I'm great. People begin to pat you on the back, brother, and point to you. Brother Nate. Oh, my God. You have to watch that. I mean, you have to be very careful there.
They very much would focus and shift their vision towards you and instead of the Lord. And so this is why, you know, the Gideons, who God has raised up and is still in the process of raising up more Gideons, who would stand firm, that even when they're offered a position of a place of where God has not called them, they would stand and say, no, the Lord is going to be your ruler. That's who's going to be your ruler. And this is the thing that God is restoring through the sin of Elijah. He's restoring order in the body of Christ. That's one of the things. He's restoring order. The body has gotten out of order. Okay, we got people in places God had not called them, you know, because they was using a particular area, and then all of a sudden they, you know, wasn't being aware of man trying to give them glory, and now they're functioning in areas that God have not called them. Some of them God have called the hand, and they trying to be the foot, you know, and some of the foot and try to be the hand. You know, and so we thank God for the sending of the Elijah to restore all things. That order is going to be restored in the body of Christ. And we thank God for that because, brother, it got to happen. Man, we're in such a bad shape in Christianity. It's pitiful. And for some reason, we got to fix in our head that Christ is coming back for this kind of church. He's not coming back for a disordered church.
Yeah. Well, you know how mixed messages can be sent out concerning God wants to be the Lord and rule over his people and the Lord of the church. And you know, it's so easy. Now, we see John coming in his generation as the Elias to restore the priesthood authority of the Son of God back to the church that represent Christ in the church. He restored the priesthood authority. Even though many people represent Christ and preach his word, redemption, and salvation in all the earth, in the last days he said restore all things. And one of the things he restored, the priesthood authority of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ, back in this last generation. Now, it's so easy for people begin to worship the priesthood.
Yeah.
I will say this again. Oh, we have the priesthood authority. We're the only people. Oh, we have the priesthood authority. And you begin to worship, not Jesus now, but the priesthood authority. You have to keep everything in their proper place. You begin to say, we are the only one that have the priesthood authority. And you begin to exalt and feel all lifted up and proud because we are the only people have the priesthood authority restored by the touch of an angel, Elijah. And we begin to worship and adore priesthood of thought and exalt ourselves above people and not forget that the worship and glory belongs to the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And that has happened. Remember Joseph Smith, why he lost out with God and lost the favor of God and went into error?
Yeah.
It says he was because of pride and he loved the praises of men. Understand that. What got him off? He loved the praises of men.
Yeah.
See, and that's why Gideon refused to take the place that he was not given by Jehovah. He refused to let the people push him into that. And he said, Jehovah is going to be ruler. We want to be king and judge over you. And I'm not going to accept this position you're trying to push me into. Oh, brother, you are a right reverend apostle. We're going to put you into this right reverend apostle. You're going to write real this. We're going to exalt you and ordain you You notice right now, in the last 25 years, everybody in the Christian world, most of them are now want to be apostles. 20 years before that, everybody wanted to be a prophet. 20 years before that, everybody wanted to be a bishop. So now everybody wants to be an apostle. So everybody, you see apostle so-and-so, that's a, oh, I see. So when you announce them, the apostle or right Reverend so-and-so, well, I hope that comes from God. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
The first time I heard of, and it was a woman. She said she called herself Chief Apostle. That's a chief.
Oh yes, oh yes. Let us. Oh yes. Oh yes. There's right now. In the last 25, everybody stepped up as an apostle. Before that, they were, like I said, they was ancient. Everybody was calling themselves a prophet. Before that, it was such a great honor to be called bishop. So this now everybody's apostle. So women and men and women's are apostles and overseers. So I stopped by a church one time, in fact, twice, and I says, I see apostle. She had my, and I asked the guy in front. He said, oh yes, my wife, she's the apostle, and I'm the. He was the pastor, but his wife was the apostle. I said, sir, I said, oh, that's very interesting. I said, could you tell me how she got to be an apostle? Sir, I don't mean. I just want to know how that happened. He said, I asked another church when I was passing by because I saw it was a woman that was an apostle too. So the husband of this one lady on the west side, she was by one day and I said, oh, your wife is the apostle. Yeah, she's the apostle and I'm the, I think a pastor. I said, oh, that's very interesting. I said, wow, I'm sure. How did that come about? I want to, could you tell me how that took a place? So it's always interesting how people come to this stuff, you know, come to this stuff. Yeah, I just like to know. I was downtown in Loop in Chicago, and so I often used to stop at a lot of churches, visit a lot of churches if I'm with daytime or coming. And there's a big old Episcopal church that's been down in Loop in Chicago. It dates back, it's over, I guess, maybe 100-some years, one of those buildings that been there. So I stopped in one day. I was coming out of Loop, and I parked. I said, I got to stop by and talk to them. So I happened to knock on the door, and the pastor, she was in there. That happened to be in. I said, I introduced myself. I said, you know, Brother Lee, and I just come stop by and say hello. And she began to, you know, tell me about the church. I said, oh, could you tell me, I feel interesting how you got the revelation that you were called to the ministry and that you were called to the pastor. I was just always interested in how that happened. So I get very curious with people, you know, to find out how did this come about, you know, and I'd be very careful to be very respectful and honor, okay, because I know God has called some women to particular ministries in the body of Christ, particular ones. We may not agree totally that God does use women in certain areas in the last days, and some areas are very controversial, and I admit personally that I'm not sold on all of these titles that all of them that people are saying that God has placed them in there. But I take this position, whether I accept that or not, what Jesus did, if they're not against me, if they be for me, then they're not against me. So I just let it alone. if they for helping people get Christ and get out of sin and out of the devil, and Jesus says they for me, then they're not again. I just, whether I believe the title or not, I see the works. I look beyond the title and see the works.
Yeah.
See the fruit. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, definitely, because that's what the thing that we, you know, have to look for. And in these last days, you know, and I want to say before we get ready to go off the air, you know, this thing about Kanye West and, you know, it's still being a big buzz in the news. And, you know, like I said, with some of the Christians who are saying, yes, he's born again, he's saved, getting upset because there are other Christians that say, hold up, wait a minute, we got to see, because the Bible said you should know them by their fruits. And so some of them are taking it to think that you're saying he can't be redeemed. I said, well, no, our sin can't be redeemed. Okay, he can be redeemed. Okay, I said, but you have to watch in this day and time. When you look at the church world and the way things are going, men have gotten so lifted up in pride that it's no more being led by the Spirit of God. It's no more doing things in the order or by the Word of God. It's going by how we feel, what's going to bring the members into the church. That's what we're going by. What's going to get me the biggest building? What's going to get me the most people in the church? And so they're going by. And so when you have men at times say, I'm born again, I'm saved. And people don't check it out because, brother, as you know, we are in the Laodicean stage. And therefore, you know, the church have accepted so much of the secular. And the devil see this, that he know that he can send anybody. Now, to the people, I tell them, I say, hey, I'm not telling y'all that Kanye West can't be redeemed. I'm just telling you, you better be watchful. I said, because if you look at how things are going and have been going and, you know, you're doing particular things, you better watch out. I said, besides, they say he has a pastor who says that he's saved. I said, where is his pastor? That's what I asked. I said, where is his pastor? I mean, if a man just said he just got converted this year, if he truly got converted, he's a newborn babe, okay? And so, therefore, he needs to be fed the milk. If he's already talking about running out there and he's doing ministry now already, I said, now, wait a minute. Where is the pastor? I said, so there's other things that you could consider. But like I said, in the body, among the people, we have to be very watchful. And like I said, the Gideons are going to rise up, and they're going to say, no, the Lord ruleth over you. Amen. So once again, yeah, brother, we are grateful for another blessed night in the Lord. Grateful for this opportunity to go into the Word of God tonight, because it's truly been a blessing. And glory to God. So, brother, I want to ask you if you would offer a closing prayer as we close off the broadcast.
To everyone that's in the part of the world, we present you Christ who died on the cross and rose again. If you are outside of Christ and have not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, this is a good time to say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sin on Calvary. Your blood was atoned for my sins, and you rose on the third day for my salvation. I am turning my heart and my life to you. I'm inviting you to come. I believe that your blood, that you paid the price for my salvation. I'm putting my trust in you. Come in my life. Save me, wash me, deliver me, make me new. I put my trust and faith in you and to the uttermost, in Jesus' name. To those that are struggling with sickness and disease and crisis in their life, we continue to hold you up for victory wherever you are in every part of the world, not only for our sisters and our near ones in the body of Christ who are struggling with crisis. We are standing in faith, believing that God will extend and bring victory and deliverance to you. For those in the world, we pray that you find a place that believe the Bible and worship and be baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with the Holy Spirit and let Christ lead you in all things. We love you and we look for you tomorrow night as Heart to Heart Handmaid's Night. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for the end. So once again, as my brother said, this is Brother Lee with Brother Nate. We love y'all. May God continue to bless you all. Bless your family and your loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. God bless you, brother.
My best.